Second Chronicles 20. It came to pass that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And report came to him that the enemies from the other side of the Jordan River, the other side of the Dead Sea, were making their way toward Jerusalem to battle. They were coming up from the south of the Dead Sea. It tells us in verse number 2 that they had come to En-Gedi. You may remember En-Gedi as a place that King David resided for a period of time, hid. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Isn't it great when the first thing we think to do in our moment of need or crisis is turn to God? It's how it should be. You know, King Asa, the Bible says he went to the doctors without going to God and he died. Well, God's not against doctors, but he wants to be consulted first. He wants us to look to him first and put our confidence and trust in him. And when I go in the hospitals and pray for people that are in the hospital, I'm thankful for the nurses and the doctors and such as that. I'm thankful for everybody that has a part in that care. Now, we need them. We appreciate them. But we need God. And he's the one that ultimately holds the answer. He's the one who has the appointment set when our time is to graduate to heaven. And so, when it comes to sickness and death, you know, death is not the issue, but sickness is something that gets in the way of stuff I've got to do. And so I don't want to be sick, and I know you don't either. But God is good, and so we look to God. Jehoshaphat first turns to seek the Lord, but not just that. As the king, he calls on the whole nation to fast. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They came to Jerusalem. They came to the temple to pray. It says in verse number 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And in verse number 13, we see, if you want to skip over there, that it wasn't just the leaders of the cities of Judah, but it was the women and the children also. They're little ones, the Bible says. And God, it's so important that we teach our young ones to follow Jesus. I recall one time a good friend of mine had a job, and his job was going to take him away from the house for months at a time. And so he asked me, you know, it's one thing if you're going to do what you're going to do, but if you ask the preacher, I hope you want the, you know, honesty, right? If you want it sugar-coated, buy a cookie. But he asked me what I thought about it, and I said, well, your daughter's of the age, and she needs her daddy around right now. In 3 or 4 years, you can do whatever you want, make all the money you want, go do whatever you want. But right now, this girl needs her daddy, and she needs guidance, and she needs structure. And, that's not just true in his situation, but it's true in our situation. We need to be present. And we need to be speaking to them the things of God, the truth of God, and giving them an example of what a marriage is. They ought to be able to see love in the home and kindness in the home, and they need to have boundaries. They need to know what's right and what's wrong, and that there's consequences for going outside of those boundaries. It's so important. And it was important here for them to bring their kids from all around the country to be at God's house to pray. And I tell you, that's one thing that people are missing out on. If they don't get their kids in church, they're going to wish they had in 10 years. And you need to bring them early. We need to bring them when they're young, not wait till they're old enough to say no. They'll learn no later on anyway. And kids need to be, brought to God's house. And they need to be instructed in God's way. And if they don't do it, then they wonder why. We wonder why our kids grow up and run wild. I tell you, I don't know everybody's story in here, but if you didn't find Jesus when you were young, you missed out. There were years you missed out on. And it's one thing, look, I'm not just saying drag them to any church. I'm saying take them to a good church where they have good Sunday school teachers, and they use the Word of God, and they sing God's songs and pray to God. They ought to have that example. They need that. And they brought everybody. Well, Jehoshaphat's prayer in verse number 6, he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? And so Jehoshaphat is saying to God, God, you're the top. You've got the ability to change the situation. In our situations, we need to go to God, and I go to God on your behalf. And when you bring a burden, you bring a need, and I say, God, you can do this. You have the ability to do this. There's no doubt that you can do this. I don't know what purpose there would be served if you don't do this. But I'm putting it in your hands, and I'm saying, letting my request be made known, I'm asking you to do this. That's what we got to do. Go to God and pray. Now, we've got to trust in Him. Trust that He is and that He is able. Verse 7, are not thou our God? Our God? Who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? Gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. This is our land. God, you said, this is our land. You told Abraham, this is our land. Verse 8, they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name. And what did he tell Solomon? Look at verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, as sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. God, that's what you told Solomon. It was built here to glorify you, to be the epicenter of faith, to come to this place and pray in this place. And you said you would hear us. And so he's reminding God of all these things. I know, you say God doesn't need to be reminded. But that's how he prayed. Verse 10, now behold, what's the problem? The children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. The enemy is coming to take God's blessings from us. Think about that. We ought to be praising God, thanking God. We've got it great, haven't we? God's so good to us. Yeah, we've got complaints and we've got some miseries and such as that. I was complaining to somebody the other day. And I got done complaining. I said, look, I don't have any complaints. My life's great, but I just complain sometimes. And he laughed. Guys, you could always find something that could be better. But thank God for what he's done in our lives. And, you know, look around. Look at how great America is. I know she's got some hard times. Been through some and facing some more. But does anybody else want to go somewhere else? No, I don't. I love this place. And so we've got to keep spreading the word and sharing Jesus and taking a stand and holding our ground. God, they're coming to take your blessings from us. Is that how we pray? God, they're coming to take your blessings from us. They're coming to take away what you've given us and what you've promised us. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against the great company that cometh against us. God, without you, we can't do it. How many of us prayed a prayer like that this last year? God, this is something I can't fix. This is something that's coming and it's going to take away your blessings and I can't stop it. I need you. I don't have the strength. You know, there are things that doctors don't have the medicine. The scientists haven't made the discoveries. There are things we cannot do when it comes to the medical field, health field. There are things we do not know. Of course, the future is in that category. We don't know what it holds. But he said, we have no might against this great company. Look at what he continues to say in verse 12. Neither know we what to do. How many of us ever prayed that? God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. God, I try to do right, try to instruct in the right way, but I don't know what to do. I wish I knew. If I knew, I'd do it. If I knew how, I'd do it. If I knew what, I'd do it. Well, we don't know what to do. Look at verse 12. Look. But our eyes are upon thee. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that powerful? God, I know I can't do it by myself. I don't know what to do. So I'm looking to you. I'm looking to see what you're going to do. I prayed. I say, God, I want to see your hand. I want to see your power. I want to see your love. I want God show off, right? I'm praying. I'm showing you the need, and I'm asking you to show off. Just show us how great and mighty and powerful you are. My eyes are upon thee. We already looked at verse 13, but it said as Jehoshaphat prayed that prayer, there were women and children, families, men, leaders in that crowd listening to that prayer. Hearing him call out to Almighty God there in front of the temple at the new court. Calling out to God and saying, God, we know your word. We know your promises. We know you can. And we're in a fix and we don't know what to do. We're just going to look to you. And he left it with that, didn't he? We have to learn to take our prayer to God and leave it at his feet. Say to God, I'm going to trust you for it. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. Verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. We talked about that this morning, how that the Spirit of God, the anointing power of God, he shuts us out and puts his message in. We need that, don't we? We need God to put us out and put him in. And that's what he did. He did it with Saul. We see him do it with Samson. We see him do it with David. And throughout the Bible, we see him with Ezekiel and Isaiah, all these prophets of the Old Testament. We see him do it with John the Baptist in the New Testament. And so we see that spirit that comes on him. It is God. By the way, every word that was written in this book, when they wrote it down, God took all of them out and put all of him in. It was written by different people at different times, but it all falls together in place, perfectly designed, because God is the author of it. All Scripture is given by inspiration, inspiration being breath, inspiration of God, the breath of God. He told them what to write. And he put all of him in, took all of them out. And so this is the pure Word of God. And so Jehaziel is filled with the Spirit of God. He's in the midst of the congregation, big crowd of people. Imagine the crowd, the whole nation's gathered there, Judah. And Jehaziel stands up, verse 14, and says, hearken ye all, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. I mean, this is a quick answer, isn't it? Jehoshaphat gets done praying. And the Holy Ghost fills Jehaziel, and he comes. Now he's got the message. He's got the answer of God. It couldn't have been more appropriate except God part the clouds like he did when Jesus was baptized or when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Of course, he uses man. He uses us. Could God have an impact today if he were to open the skies above Tallahassee and share his message? But he doesn't. He uses us. We are the ones that are spreading the word. We are the ones that are supposed to be seeking God and surrendered to God so that he can fill us with his message. He can fill us with his boldness. He can fill us with his spirit so that his words come out, but it's our accent attached to it. That's how it works. That's how God reaches our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our family. Verse 15, hearken ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Look at this, I love this. For the battle is not yours, but God's. The things that we face in this life and the challenges, do we believe in God? Do you believe in God? You believe that God has things in order? You believe that God lays challenges before us, sometimes to make us stronger, sometimes so that others will become stronger by helping us in our burden, because that's what God does. And he says, don't worry about it. Don't stress. Don't be afraid. Yeah, they're marching. They're coming around the Dead Sea. They're coming up En Gedi. They're only 100, 150 miles away, and it's a great army. It's a lot of people, and they've got a lot of weapons of war. But don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God's. I hope that will be our understanding through this year. Of all the things that come to take away God's blessing in our lives, as we see here, that God will show to us the battle is not yours, but God's. Put the battle in his hands. Put our trust in his hands, and let's see what he will do. Look at what he continues to say in verse number 16. Tomorrow go you down against them. You don't have to fight it. The battle's not yours. Well, then why do I need to go down there? If it's not mine, why do I need to be part of it? Look, we've got to face our challenges. We've got to face our obstacles. We can't run from our problems. You ever known somebody that ran from their problems? You know what I find? Problems will chase you and find you. Don't run from your problems. Face your problems. Confront your issues. You say, well, I got this problem, and I know if I go to the doctor, they're going to tell me something's bad wrong. Well, just go ahead and get it over with. If you wait, it's not going to get any better. Go to the doctor, figure out what it is, run the test. It might not, our imagination can have us dead before you know it. We can't do that. Face your battles, face your challenges, face the obstacles. He said, the battle's not yours, but it's God, but I want you to be part of the solution. I want you to go down there. Verse 16, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. He shall find them at the end of the brook. Before the wilderness of Jeruel. So, he tells them exactly where they are. This is where I want you to go. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Don't bring your weapons. Don't worry about that. You're not going to fight. But set yourselves, stand ye still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. But we got to show up to see what God will do. We've got to be part of it so we can see what God's going to do. The battle's not yours, it's God's. But you've got to go, stand still, set yourselves there, and see the salvation of God. You've got to go to it in order to see it. Because how would God get praise if nobody saw it happen? Right? We've heard it said, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? And say, well, I don't know. Nobody's ever... If there's nobody there to see it happen, then how would it make a sound? And I know the trick or the trivia on it is to do with your eardrums. But he says you got to go so you can see what God has done. Why? Because God's not bringing the battle to the front door. God's keeping the battle away from the front door. But we've got to go out there so we can see what God's doing. What does he do? Well, Jehoshaphat bowed his head, verse 18. With his face to the ground, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They were so desperate, they were so afraid, they had in their minds that they were going to be overrun, they're going to be killed, maybe their children or their wives or their husband would be killed, and so they had this imagination just running amok. It was just going to be tragic, it was going to be a crisis, and then Jehaziel stands up with the word from God, and boy, what a relief. It's not as bad as we imagined it to be. We got to turn our imaginations off when it comes to worry. Because we'll really get ourselves in a twist. And we'll defeat our own selves. So they praise God. Verse 19, they lit up all the musicians and the choir. And boy, they praised God. They just shouted and praised God. The victory was there. Even though the enemy was still out in the field, they already had the promise of victory. And that's how we ought to praise God. When God gives us that assurance, no matter if the enemy's in the field, we need to look to him and give him praise. Well, they rose early in the morning, verse number 20. And they went. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, Ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. You want to have a good year? Put God first. You want to have a good life? Put God first. You want to have a good day? Put God first. You got to put God first. Start with prayer. Finish with prayer. Don't ever stop in between. Keep the line open. Talk to God. Put Him first. Give Him praise. Trust Him. Believe Him. He says, believe the prophets and so shall you prosper. Trust His word. Trust His word. And so they appointed singers. Sent the choir out first. Y'all go in front of us. They were praising God. Here they are marching down to En-Gedi along by the Dead Sea. They're going to this desert place. And I mean, they're just all in one accord and they're singing and they're praising God. Where are they going? They're going to meet the enemy, Moab and the Ammonites. And not just the Ammonites, but others beside the Ammonites and those from Mount Seir. And so they're going down here to meet them. But they're praising God. They're having worship. They're having revival all the way down there. Verse number 23. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They turned on each other. Not only did they take out another enemy, but they took out each other. And when Israel, when Judah got there, in verse number 24, they came toward the watchtower in the wilderness. They looked to the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Isn't it marvelous when our enemies destroy each other and they just keep us out of the way? Let them fight amongst themselves. We don't have to jump in. We don't have to be part of that. God's people got there and the enemy had destroyed each other. And so we seek God. Yes, we could find enemies. We could find those who would stand against us. But if we'll trust God, He'll take care of that. And they'll destroy each other and we can just stay out of the way. And enjoy the peace, which is what the Bible says they did. They enjoyed the peace for many years. We don't know. We don't know every enemy that's out there. We don't know every obstacle or challenge we're going to face this year. I don't, you don't. We don't know. But whatever they are, let's seek God. I can't do it by myself. I don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. God, we want to see your hand in our lives this week. There are burdens. There are needs. There are things we cannot fix. We don't even know how to begin. But we look to you. And we ask to see your hand and your power and your heart in our lives. Yes, we want you to work in us, but we also want you to work through us. That souls be saved, that lives would be changed, that hearts would be refreshed, that people will have a fresh desire to walk with you and to serve you. And let it begin with us. Dismiss us now from this part of the service in Jesus' name. Amen.